Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kim McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com joins us. Ken, the Ravens traded Zaire Alexander. First of all, good morning to you. I'm sorry.
How you doing?
Jump right into business.
Ken, good morning. How are you, man? I can't believe somebody didn't introduce and greet you the proper way.
Trade deadline is tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Zaire Alexander already gone to Philadelphia. Philadelphia also just made a trade for a pass rusher.
Jalen Phillips
for the Miami Dolphins, who are probably going to have a fire sale down there. Who's coming to Baltimore, if anyone?
So I've got a list of names. I think there are some mid-range guys.
Jalen Phillips is gone.
Yeah, Jalen Phillips, and he was number one on my list. Yeah. But there's a bunch of mid-range guys that a lot of people probably don't know. They're small contract guys. Alex Wright from Cleveland. I think either Sheldon Rankins or Tim Settle from Houston would make sense.
Right.
Draymond Jones from Tennessee is an outside linebacker who could fill some run defense roles. Deron Payne, there's a big name. Of Washington. He could be treated as a rental, but he is signed in 2026 as well. Arnold Ebiketie, who's one of the hot guys, frankly, at this point with Atlanta. Atlanta may not be sellers. Chris Rumpf of New Orleans would be a reasonable one. Calais Campbell is the one that everybody recognizes and says that's a guy they want. And then I'd say Zaven Collins of Arizona, also another guy who I could see them picking up, and he's signed for 2 years as well. It's fine through 26.
Hey, Rob, Calais Campbell's been around so long, I think he played for the U when they were the U.
I think so, too. Yeah. Why is he such a hot commodity?
Because everybody knows the name, and he's a great guy. He's a good player, but he's older.
Plays a lot of snaps.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's still pretty good pass rusher.
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we had a discussion earlier about Oway. Hmm? I think the trade was fine. I like picking up the safety. We needed safety help. He goes to the Chargers, and all of a sudden now he's getting a sack every time he plays. Why do you think that occurred?
I mean, it could be some things like a little bit better scheme, but Oway's always been a very productive pressure guy. Last year he had 10 sacks, and he had actually a lower pressure rate and a really high conversion rate. I'm not really surprised that in a different system with other quality pass rushers around him or some other quality pass rushers around him, he's going to be good. And frankly, the Ravens traded away their best pass rusher when they traded away Adafe Owe. It was a move that if they were actually looking to get Jalen Phillips at the trade deadline, I'd really not like it, because in a lot of ways you're having to expend more on a pass rusher who's probably not quite at the level of Phillips, but right. Good, and you shouldn't have got rid of him if you valued him.
So. I want to piggyback off that, because I was going to ask you about Zaire, but we can wait. I know we're going to get to him. Somebody's going to ask you about him. But when it comes down to that, as far as, making moves, it's always felt like the Ravens covet draft picks, and there's a justifiable reason why. In your opinion, do you think they need to tweak that a little bit and almost play it year by year? Like, hey, we're in this situation. We really need this. Obviously, it depends on what the asking price is. I understand that. But do you think they covet draft picks too much?
I think the Ravens do. It's an extremely well-run organization, and they rarely make a stupid move. But what they're looking at is, they're looking at this range of options they have that include draft capital. They include the space on the roster right now, which is at a big premium. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to see how many green lights go on their board in terms of meeting their minimum value on the thing. And I think that they could pull the trigger on multiple this year. They potentially could get two players at a time like this if they decide to be buyers. And I think the kind of draft compensation I would see leaving the building is maybe two-fifths, a fifth and a sixth, that kind of thing. It's not. I don't think they'll trade a first, second, or third this year.
Ken McCusick joins us, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, I want to talk strategy right now. The Ravens, once again, dress three outside linebackers and five defensive linemen. What is the strategy behind this?
It's lack of having enough outside linebackers to play. So they've got, you know, one thing people ask is why isn't Carl Lawson playing as a fourth outside linebacker? I mean, I don't think it's a matter of he's not ready to play. I think Lawson knows as much about pass rushing as he ever did. The problem is that the guy they need is an early down run stopping outside linebacker, and they don't have that. They don't have anybody to replace Tavius Robinson. So they've gone into these games basically where if they have lose snap count by a significant margin, and they've been losing it pretty much every game, but if they lose by a significant margin, they really have a problem with having some fatigued players because those are all rotational positions in the front five.
So you talk about the front five. I'm just curious about the improvements that we since we made the trade. Putting Hamilton up, having him do different things, it seemed to improve the defense dramatically. And I'd like you, if you could explain why, what you see. The fact we make this trade, Hamilton is just an amazing defensive player, does a lot. But he seems to change. He has an impact on beyond his just what he does. It seems to change the whole defense. So why is that? And how did this trade allow this?
What I always say is that Hamilton up front, playing the slot corner dime position, he's the ace of trumps. There's no one like him in the entire National Football League. Other than maybe Emmanuel, you could, some people make the claim for Derwin James, as who Derwin James was as a rookie, a great player. But he's the guy who takes away the strong side of the football field all by himself. When he's on the back end, he just doesn't have that impact up front. And you know, it's not like he's not needed there as well. You need a great player at all these positions. But when he's up front, wide receiver screens to his side of the field are generally a losing proposition. He can rush the passer, and we've seen him do that a lot. He becomes a great run stopper, not afraid at all to come crashing off the edge. I am a little worried that by playing him close to the line of scrimmage, they take a little more injury risk with him, and that he may be a guy that they can't keep on the field for as many snaps as they have so far.
Well, let me get to it. The trade of Alexander. Where did you think this was coming? Surprise. And again, do you consider this a failure? I don't, because they didn't give up anything, and then they got a draft pick back.
Yeah, so they only get about $1 million in cap savings. That's the relief of the, I guess, the original $4 million or whatever it was that they traded him. Obviously, he didn't make any incentives on the deal. So that was a small gain. The other maybe bigger gain is they got the roster spot back. And so now they can acquire a player and fill what used to be Jaire Alexander's roster spot. Or they can bring up Keandre Jackson, who's used up all three of his elevations and seems to have passed Sanusi Kane on the safety depth chart, because he's active and Kane is inactive now, which is a very much a one-for-one proposition. You got a safety who's just a backup safety and a pure special teams player otherwise. So I think that, you know, we're gonna probably see Jackson on the roster if the Ravens don't make a trade by tomorrow.
Now, some people, Kim McCusick, say Lamar Jackson holds on to the ball too long. You have a different perspective of that. We want to hear about that. Up next, Kim McCusick, Film Study Baltimore, right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
8:15 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ken McCusick joins us for Film Study. Ken, you hear people say Lamar Jackson holds on to the ball for too long, but you broke down his ability to wait for the receivers to actually break open for more yak.
Yeah, when you see most separation metrics for receivers, you see Rashad Bateman is often the top of that list, and it's usually measured at the time of the throw. And a lot of this actually manufactured separation by Lamar, that his moving around create separation for the receivers because of the way he likes to break routes, likes to wait for routes to break open. Probably every offseason, there's talk about making Lamar more of an on-schedule thrower,
right,
having more, you know, at the break, at the top of the stem. I think the Ravens would give up a lot to make that happen. I don't mean he shouldn't do it four times a game, but I think they would give up a lot for trying to change who Jackson is into something that could well be less productive.
So there's more pros than cons for him holding on to the ball. Because I don't like cons. I hate cons.
Yeah.
Cons are...
I love them. It's funny. I think we're in the same boat. I don't like any other cons either. Screw the rest of my family. No, but you know, like to what you're talking about, it's a give and take with, you know, people used to say this all the time. Oh my God, he throws so many interceptions or he takes too many sacks. And you're looking at it, but you got to, it's the good and the bad that come along with it. The good outweighs the bad on these big plays.
I agree.
Well, I also say the sacks. I mean, he has a tremendous record of his forced not to pass opportunities. So that combines his scrambles with all the times he gets sacks. In his 2019 season, he had over 5 yards per one of those. Like, and that includes all his 23 sacks or something for 105 yards, maybe. But he also had, you know, 370
but the big plays
scrambles.
Yeah.
Hey, Ken, what about Aloe Gilman? I mentioned him before. I was happy with the trade, but he didn't look great. How do you feel about his play so far?
So on Thursday night, he had 9% of his career missed tackles in one game. So it was 4 missed tackles. And he would have probably had a fifth if he hadn't come back and stripped the ball loose on the play he did. And that said, even though he gave up about 45 yards in yards after missed tackles in the game, I take it every time if you get one big turnover like that, it sets you up for the 7-yard line.
Yeah.
Hey, Ken, as we start to, you know, look at the team and some of the things that we've seen with Lamar coming back on offense, did you see anything that either you're like, okay, he's fully back, or anything in the game where you're like, okay, I'm worried about that? Because Derrick Henry, he got off. He had a big game just like I thought he would. As soon as Lamar comes back, it's a great equalizer because we know the advantages of that mesh point. What did you see from him? Anything that stood out?
All right, let's separate the two things. So Lamar, the runner, I'm still a little bit concerned that he's not up in top gear right now. So I don't think that Henry is in a position to leverage who Lamar is by the most. I don't think the Ravens are probably going to be willing to run him maybe the rest of the season as much as they have in the past. So from that perspective, I think he's a little bit behind. Lamar lulls you to sleep as a pass rusher because he keeps completing passes and you think, oh, that was an easy open pass. That was an easy open pass. Mm-hmm. And he keeps the ball out of trouble. And it's just a wonderful thing to watch. And all of a sudden he's 9 for 10 in this half and, you know, has 140 passer rating in the game. And it's just a remarkably, we've come to take him for granted in such a way that as he builds up stats over the course of a game like that, you don't even notice it.
Yeah. Ken McCusick joins us from filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, was this Malachi Stark's best game of his young pro career?
Absolutely. Yeah, by far. And he really needed a game like this. And it wasn't just the interception. The interception was a nice kind of a room service pick, I'll call it. But it was one that was generated by game script. So that's the kind, you get a lead, you get some turnovers out of it because the other team's trying to catch up. The other two were both fumbles on strips where Teddy Buchanan was in the process of making the tackle. He was kind of the hidden star of those two fumbles because Humphrey stripped loose one, Gilman stripped loose the other. Those are shots on goal takeaways, if you want to call them that they talked about this summer. But Starks also had 3 drive-ending plays in the game, so a fantastic game for him.
Well, I'm going to stick with defense as I do. How do you like the usage of Brent Urban right now? I've always liked Urban because he knocks down a lot of passes because he's so tall. But what do you think of what they're doing with him now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Urban is doing whatever the team needs him to do. Mm-hmm. And the big thing that they've leaned into in this last week was something called the uncovered nickel. When they do that, they basically have Urban on the field as a 5-tech, and they only have one outside linebacker who plays on the other side. You can kind of think of it as a nickel with Urban playing one of the two outside linebacker spots. But they have 3 down linemen on the field, and what they've been doing is running up somebody who's smaller on the edge of the defense, whether that's Buchanan sometimes or Hamilton at other times to help with the run defense. It's been very effective, and Brent Urban's really the key to making that work.
Yeah, I've always liked that guy. Yeah.
Ken, I got to talk offensive linemen with you on your podcast the other day. How did the offensive line do in this game?
Yeah, the second best game of the year, so the best game was the previous one, but generally, everybody played pretty well. Stanley had a C-. I know that PFF is grading him better than that. He's got a few pressures where the cone gets intruded upon. I still think it's very good, and it was really good to see him play most of the game and playing at this level. Voorhees a B, and he's played well for now 5 of the last 6 games. He's gotten a B- or a B. Linderbaum an A, had no negative events. Great to see 2 consecutive good games out of Linderbaum, so I'm happy about that. Falele was a C. He looked very bad. He actually got away with what might have been a chop block at the goal line. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that looked bad. If it would have been, his grade would have been a lot worse if that
someone else pointed that out. I didn't see it during the game, but I saw somebody point that out, maybe on a national show.
Oh, really? So Rosengarten was engaged high, and he went low, and he blocked the wrong guy, too. There's number 25, whoever that is for the Dolphins, streamed through the line and was involved in the tackle. And Rosengarten, anyway, and A also, no negative events, and he's had two great games in a row as well. So, the line's looking up.
Kim McCusick, let's go out to the phone lines. Baltimore, Trippy. What's up, Trippy?
Hey, hello.
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 Hey, man. I'm glad I ain't fall asleep, man. I had a long night last night, man. I had to go do some scouting for the Ravens, man. the Ravens defense, man. I had a nice little talk with Mike McDonald yesterday, man. So, Zach, you listening to me? Give me a call, good brother. We ready to turn this around, good brother.
Didn't he already call Mike McDonald?
Who?
Zach Orr. I thought
John Harbaugh said a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Jeremy, you know I saw Mike last night, man. You know I didn't go see my man Mike.
Oh, you went down to D.C.?
Yeah, I went to D.C. last night.
Look at him.
Trippa, this is you from camp, right, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ken, this is me from Twitter, man. You know what?
I know you are.
All y'all right now. I'm glad you just said something, Ken. Ken, Rob, only one get a pass is Ed. Even Joe. All four of y'all, I got a new Twitter. I follow all y'all, and now y'all acting boozy, acting like y'all can't follow me. What's up with that?
I didn't know you had a new Twitter.
Didn't know. Sorry,
hey, Rob. Stop lying, Rob. I didn't text you plenty of times.
I didn't know you had a new Twitter.
Hey. Stuff on TikTok, though, right?
I didn't know you had a new Twitter.
What's your new Twitter?
It's TrippyKicker1.
Hold on, I thought I'd been following you, right?
No, this is a new one.
Hey, Trippa, you can always send me a DM. They're always open. I'll be sure to follow
Twitter
you
in 2 years.
But look, this is how I know it was crazy, right? Even though the Big Bad Morning Show don't find me, I said, damn, they must be thinking I'm a troll or something. But it's all love, man. Hey, I just want to say, man, the Ravens fans is crashing out right now on Twitter. They mad about Phillips. But guess what? You can't tell me EDC ain't about to make a move. Hey, EDC, I know it's probably impossible, right? But if you can send me Justin Simmons and Max Crosby, oh, my God. We're going to the Super Bowl, boys.
By the way,
I have a great Monday, man.
Hey, Trippa, what did you put on your Christmas list when you were a kid? I'm just wondering.
He's gone. He's one of those guys that call in and tell you, hey, you're not following me. And I'm like, man, screw this guy. Not me. I'm a Trippy fan. I went and just followed his ass. It's like, I laugh at all the stuff he's posting.
I do too.
He's a character. Literally the guy's holding court out there at camp with the media. It's funny to see, but he's a good guy.
Ken, before we let you go, I know you watch baseball as well. Who won the third base American League Gold Glove last night?
You don't have to know this.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
But did you know they announced it?
No, I saw the NL Gold Gloves came out, but I didn't know.
The whole thing did.
Okay.
Right now in the middle of a football game.
Great marketing there.
Yeah, great marketing.
Did they stop the game to announce it?
No, they did not stop the game to announce it. No. I mean, because college football has a way of doing it before the big NFL game, because now that we have your attention, baseball did it. And baseball didn't do it. ESPN's petty ass did it. Right smack dab in the middle of a primetime game.
Who won the third base?
I don't remember because I was watching the football game. That's my point.
I see your point.
That's my point. I know Fernando Tatis Jr. won right field National League. I know. Tell us a little bit about filmstudybaltimore.com.
Sure. Well, it's a big week. Even with the mini bye here, we've got all the offense and defense from the Miami game, which we just talked about briefly here, is out there. But the trade deadline stuff is out. Talk with Brian McFarland is out there from yesterday.
It's about my guy.
Great guy. And then a talk with Voss, the Friday morning GM guy, and a special episode in who the Ravens might get.
There you go. Ken McCusick. So will we see you
Tuesday next week.
Tuesday next week. Thanks a lot, Ken. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Terps Hoops opens the night against my school, Coppin. But before that, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, a couple of things. We're going to talk about some crazy doorbell cam footage that caught a Minnesota mom trying to save a bunch of kids from a flaming school bus. Want to hear from you guys. We always heard about the stories of something happens and you get the mom that gets that incredible Hulk strength and lifts up the car and saves the kid. This one's a little different, but interesting that she made that move to get all the kids off the bus. We'll also talk about predictions and nipples. You know, there's something there for you. It's not as bad as you think. And
I like nipples.
Do you like predictions?
No.
Well, then this segment's for you, Rob. Kentucky woman receives a package. You guys ever got the wrong package? Like, you mailed to your house and you open it up?
My neighbor. So did you, by the way.
Did I?
Yeah.
I got the wrong package?
Yeah, you got one of them.
I was supposed to get a different one? Anyway, I'll tell you what this woman got in the mail. It's coming up in the World of Stupid. All right, here we go. Let's start it off with this crazy doorbell cam footage in Minnesota. So a mom's walking out to pick her kids up in East Bethel, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And she looks under the tire of the, you know, the buses next to her house. She looks, and it looks like something's on fire. And she starts to see the color, and she runs over to the bus driver, and she's like, get all the kids off the bus now. So she's over there getting all the kids, scooping them up into her house, run up to the front door. You guys go in, telling the bus driver to get off the bus. And you may say, okay, well, she did a nice thing. She noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
The front of that bus exploded like 5 minutes later. Like the whole thing caught on fire. The engine blew up. Anybody that would have been in the front would have been hurt. I think there's a lot of people that could have got hurt with this. And I know you guys have seen some crazy things. Have you seen the like the feats of heroism or, you know, like I was talking about the mom lifting the car up because her baby's underneath it or whatever. Have you seen anything like that? Like these amazing moments of the public just doing something that you don't expect? Or do you want them, just get the hell out of our way when we're working?
Yeah, when I was...
Is it a little bit of both?
Before I was a police officer, I was a kid. There was a guy.
You were a kid once?
Yeah. And he couldn't change his tire. And his name was David Banner.
Oh.
And he turned green.
Yeah.
And he bust out of his clothes and lifted the car.
To change the tire?
You guys see that too?
Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah.
What about you, Ed? Anything? Does anything come to mind?
No. Honestly, not. I mean, civilian doing some like outrageous. Not that I've seen.
Like, do you remember the clip of the guy in Paris that climbed up the, they called him Spider-Man? He climbed up the wall. There was a kid on a balcony, like hanging, and nobody could get to him because the door was. So he just starts jumping up the building, goes up like 9 stories and grabs the kid. No. It's like, what the hell? No.
I did see. I mean, I've seen things like people do things not in their line of work who were first responders that I thought were pretty heroic, but I have not seen a civilian. It was cops in Brooklyn. It was a house on fire. Fire department was in the area. They roll up on it. And people were yelling that there's like old people living in the house, and they weren't responding. So a cop broke the windows with his hands, opened the doors, and ended up waking up these people that would have been killed, and cut himself to ribbons.
Oh.
It was somebody. Well, so I mean, things like that. Where you're not a firefighter, dude, but he did it. You know, he went in the house in a burning building and broke the window to gain entry and stuff.
I know you saw it as well. I saw a smashing machine with The Rock. And Mark Kerr's friend that, you know, he has to like an opponent, but his best friend was what? It was Mark Coleman, right? Mm-hmm. And wasn't he the one that ran into his house to save his parents? They were burnt. There was a fire
was
when
him?
He got him. Yeah, I'm almost positive.
I know the story. I didn't know that was him.
I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was him because he was on the Ohio State wrestling team, too, if I remember correctly. But anyway, let's move on to the next story because I told you I'd talk about nipples and bets nipples. And things like that. Well, and I love this guy, Andrew Filippone, who works up in Pittsburgh. I told you this story on the air. We were wondering if he was going to follow through with it. He said was no way Pearson. The Steelers were losing to the Bengals on Thursday night a couple of weeks ago. And he said, if they do, I'll get my nipples pierced with no numbing agent. To which a lot of people said,
you just
want your nipples pierced, man. Yeah. Come on. Why do you keep making that bet every week? All right, they're 17.5-point underdogs. If they lose this game, I'm going to get my nipples pierced. Well, he went through it, and again, I think Pony's so good for the game because he says some really outrageous stuff. Like, I go on his FanDuel show all the time, and...
Does he say shock jock stuff or just crazy stuff?
Well, like, he'll say, like, when the Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett, he was all in. Kenny Pickett's the next great quarterback, and he says a lot of stuff like that. Right. So he's very boisterous and outgoing. Like, I remember when I did my Wheel of Misfortune, whenever I missed my lock of the week, I'd spin the wheel... And it would tell me something awful I'd have to do from, you know, getting my chest waxed or doing the show and drag as a clown.
We used to do that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, we had one out front where this is the one that pissed me off is throw a dozen eggs at me. So we grabbed a bunch of people here. We had eggs in the fridge. Well, I don't know what was wrong with our refrigerator, but they put the eggs right underneath it. They froze.
Froze them.
So when they started throwing them at me, it was just like they were throwing rocks at me. I was like, this isn't the lottery, guys. Chill out.
Right. We had something similar when I was with Maynard, is my co-host. He had to be paintballed. Like, he wasn't playing.
Oh,
he had to stand there and get hit. 98 Rock Morning Show showed up and annihilated him.
Oh, really?
It's hilarious.
Poor guy.
He had bruises and welts all over him. And you referred to David Banner? Do you know the original
name? Not the rapper.
I know.
Bruce Banner.
It was Bruce Banner. Do you know why they changed it?
Why?
Producers felt the name sounded, quote, too gay.
Really?
Yeah. It was changed in the 70s.
It was David Banner on the TV show.
Yeah, 100%. Right? Yes.
They changed it to Bruce?
No, they changed it to David.
Yeah.
Bruce was originally, yes.
Because don't they call it Bruce Banner in the new...
They may have got back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they did change it. It's just, you can look it up.
No, they said it's still gay, but they don't care now.
I thought maybe it was like because of Bruce Wayne.
No.
Oh, dude, I felt so bad because I was telling a story this weekend. I was watching Atlanta Hawks play, and they have a guy in their starting lineup when people are hurt named Muhammad Gay. So, like, every time I'm high as a kite watching this game, and every time they pass the ball, pass to Gay, Gay, Gay. Like, I'm doing that over and over again. I'm high as a kite. Just give me a break.
Pass to Rudy Gay?
Yeah. Like, no. So, I'm telling my buddy this story before we go to the Billy Strings concert this weekend, and I'm telling it as loud as can be, not realizing I think I was sitting next to four gay dudes who were staring at me like, what's this guy's problem? It's like, I'm with you guys.
I bet you there was a guy who worked with them all back then whose name was Bruce.
You think so?
And that's what I said.
You remember Bruce?
I bet you. That was another issue with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the logo.
Bruce Valanche?
The pirate with the knife in his teeth, with the feather in his head. Buccaneer Bruce. And that was the other issue.
Hey.
Yeah.
You guys like pirates?
Is Bruce a gay name?
I don't think so.
That's how it's... Well,
somebody's got to tell Cunningham. It's not going to be me.
I'm just telling you, that's
not gonna be me.
That's why the name change took place with the Hulk.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I'm just reading it.
Yeah.
So now every time I see somebody thought of somebody named Bruce and they introduced themselves as Bruce, I'm just gonna bust out laughing.
Well, it's like Karen for women now.
Yeah, you don't want to be Karen.
Well, you want to be Karen.
One of my best friends in the world. Karen.
Well, have you ever?
She's one.
I love her. Have you ever introduced any of your one friend and said, hey, this is my buddy Adolf? No, because nobody's named Adolf anymore.
He ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, you can't.
Karen Hopper is a Karen.
Yeah. So it fits?
And now we all know.
Oh, she's Karen. I love her, though. She'll give you a last nickel, but you'll hear about it.
Well, this last story is about getting the wrong package. You go to the wrong orgy or your mail gets screwed up, you could get the wrong package. Kentucky woman received a package. She opens it up. Is expecting her medicine delivery. Yeah, it was just human arms and fingers.
Oh. So,
he was finished. Could you imagine that? Oh, my God, it's my medicine. I've been waiting for... What the hell is... Are those fingers?
Doctor says I'll give you a hand.
I had no soil to come through your nose.
A Kentucky woman is expecting medicine, gets the gruesome surprise on Wednesday when the woman called 911 from her home. Saying, yeah, I got some fingers and body parts. I don't know why it's showing up at my house. But yeah, that has to be ultimately one of the worst things you can get.
That's as bad as it would get. I got one sent to my house. I was a kid. Somebody sent a package of drugs to our house.
Really?
My father was a police officer at the time. We had to call internal affairs. They had to come over and do an investigation. Somebody spent a shoebox full of stuff to our house.
You got to tell internal affairs because that might be a setup.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just saw a video at a concert.
It was wild, though.
There's like four people standing around, and somebody comes up and taps them on the shoulder. Somebody dropped a little baggie, like a dime bag of cocaine, and they're all looking around, and they look over, and there's a cop like 10 feet away from him, and he's just standing there going, okay, which one are you going to pick it up? Who wants it? Is it yours? Yeah, he's just waiting for you to pick it up.
You should sniff it and see if it's cold.
And somebody stepped on it and just put their foot over top of it and just going to stand there all day until everyone leaves. That's your world of stupid.
Thank you very much. AFC North, do you think the Steelers are a real problem for the Baltimore Ravens? We'll talk about that at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, Terps tip off tonight against the Coppin State Eagles. Terps Hoops up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver.
And my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Terps hoops tip off tonight against the Coppin State Eagles. Hey, Terps, take it easy on my Eagles, man. Take it easy tonight. Don't make me have to come find you. What do you want to see tonight, Ed, from the Terps against the Coppin State Eagles?
I'd like to do them to do exactly the opposite of what you just said. I want to see if they're going to be, you know, a top, you know, nationally ranked team this year. I just want to see what they're going to look like. New coach, new team. And every year we're optimistic about the Terps.
You say you're not?
No, we are. Because okay. You always assume they're going to be good because it's, you know, it's a basketball school and, you know, a lot of guys in the NBA who played here and stuff. I just like to see if it's going to be a good season because it gets, you know how it gets. It's really, when they don't have a good year, they're disappointing. It's tough to talk about them. And when they're good, it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, even I like college basketball.
What do you expect to see out of them tonight, Jeremy?
I mean, they're a 28.5-point favorite. I'm not saying you got to win by 30, but I think it has to be a showing where you're not in trouble. You handle business. You clearly have the talent. But people have to also realize, like, there's going to be a feeling out process for this group and him learning. I know he knows some of these players.
Yeah.
But you got to see who plays well together. Some of the guys you recruited, are they any, like, does it work in this system? The transfer portal that you hit, does it, you know? So like, I feel like guys have to build a rapport with one another. That's the one thing when you would see these senior-laden teams get into March Madness and facing like a Duke or someone else that has a couple of one-and-dones, and you're like, well, damn, how did Fordham play them tough? Well, those guys have been playing together for almost 4 years. And then you understand how they understand the movements of one another. And
you do realize that's going to change too, though, right?
Yes.
Because the big schools are now taken from Fordham.
Yes.
And those other little schools that used to have all the seniors.
That's what's going on now. It's like you just go grab them. And everybody's like, you look at it sometimes, people are pointing out at Indiana. What has Indiana done the past 2 years, right? They burst onto the scene last year. Yeah. They got a transfer quarterback.
Yep.
So in the offseason, after that quarterback's gone, what do they do? They go to Mendoza from California and saying, hey, I think you fit this system perfectly. Why don't you come in and we'll see if we can't get you drafted in the NFL. And now he might be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, number two in the country right now. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Someone asked me at couple of months ago, were you coach at, and he named the mid-major school.
Mm-hmm.
I said, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? Because I said, it's not the same now. You might as well coach at a JUCO. My strength is recruiting. Mm-hmm. So if I recruit a good team at a mid-major, what does that mean? I mean, every year, I'm recruiting again.
You got to fill the slots again.
Exactly. Yeah. Every year, recruiting is my strength.
Mm-hmm.
So if that continues, that means I'm never going to have any continuity on my roster because somebody else is taken from me.
This cat's talking about recruiting being his strength. Covering the spread has been your strength, buddy. You know how much money I've made off of Rosedale Christian? Oh, they're favored by 24? Guess what? They win him by 38. You don't have to sweat it.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm gonna get investigated for high school basketball.
I don't think you can say that on the radio.
He works with the guy who's betting on him. It happens to be the only guy who's betting on him.
Where do they find out about our poker games, Rob?
Oh no! Hey, we can use that as a fundraiser. Want to play poker with Jeremy and Rob?
Hey man, they win every time we have this fundraiser. What's that game called? I win.
So wrong. I got a feeling Coppin might hang in there tonight. I got a feeling, man. I mean, they're not going to win.
Well,
I got a feeling they might hang in there.
Again,
at least two-thirds of the game.
But the other part of this, too, is like, I think people have to realize sometimes with coaches, we talk about a feeling out process, but you're also figuring out your own guys. So they may go 10 deep, 12 deep tonight. They may let some guys play more minutes than you typically would to see how they react. But I think it has to be after you have the game kind of in hand, right? Like, you'll mix in some players. If the Terps don't jump out to that, whatever, 18-6 lead, I it would kind of shock me. But again, we've seen this happen before. It's basketball. All you need is a few minutes to play with them and look up at the scoreboard and go, well, damn, we're winning by one, and it's been 11 minutes. We can play with these guys.
My disappointment is if they do not go on at least a 20-5 run at some point.
Yeah.
A a plus 15 run at some point.
That's what you're supposed to do. And this, I'm not trying to diminish or demean, you know, Coppin State or any of these other smaller schools. But when you play the big schools, when you're in a state and you're a directional team, or you're another smaller school in that state and you go play the quote unquote state school or the big dog, mm-hmm. like in Texas, there's probably five or six of them. But yeah. when you say Texas is the
landmark team.
So yeah, those other teams get up for it when they play them, even though they may not be as good as them, or even look down or get looked down upon when you're playing them. Because again, A&M plays Texas, it's probably going to be a good game in most years.
Yeah. But so. Texas State or Texas Corpus Christi. Crispy? They're not playing.
They would be crispy if they played them. Texas San Antonio, like all these teams.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. On this manic Monday, we didn't talk a lot about Monday Night Football, but we will talk about it a little bit later, I'm sure, before we get out of here. Baltimore Ravens getting ready for the showdown against the Minnesota Vikings. Maybe you think a little bit differently about those Vikings. And, of course, the Terps tonight tip off against a team from the MEAC, the Coppin State Eagles. Of course, I started at Liberty, finished at Coppin. So, my school. Everybody knows for Liberty because of the story behind Liberty. But
when you were the pool boy? For Jerry Falwell. Was it Falwell Jr.'s wife?
You know,
Mrs. Kitty Cat?
You know, he's only like a year older than me, so I couldn't be the pool boy.
Yeah, you could.
No, I couldn't.
Yes, you could.
No, I couldn't.
He could have got married when he was 18. You don't know.
No.
There's some weird, freaky stuff, aren't they?
That was some weird, freaky stuff there.
Was he watching, Rob?
Yeah, I was watching.
No, him.
Yeah, I said, yeah. Yeah, he was definitely watching.
I thought he said, yeah, I was watching. No. I was like, well, wait a minute. What's going on here?
He was watching.
Yeah, some interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, I'm not trying to kink shame, by the way. A lot of weird stuff out there, at least according to me. There might be some stuff I'm into, people go, that's weird. I don't think so. It's not.
Put it this way.
I just don't see it.
When I heard the story, there was no shock face.
Yeah.
None. Knowing the characters, no shock face. 410-583.
Ready got
1057 is the number.
Let's talk about kinks. Ed, you start first. What's that? Nobody wants to go after Ed? Oh. It's like, wait a minute. Are we talking? I can't compete with that. You did what? With what?
You're not a very good master. I'll be right back. That actually happened.
You're allowed to say that? No. Anyway.
He wasn't talking to me.
No, I didn't.
He was not talking to me.
Whoa.
So different.
Because he did say he wouldn't change that. And it's like, wait a minute.
And I'd never say that.
We got my Felix the Cat bag of tricks and came back.
Daily Line at 9:30. But on the other side, do you think the Steelers are a real problem for the Ravens? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.